Standalone sermon tonight. Small faith uproots. Anybody here got small faith? That's a good thing. You'll find out why. Luke 17, 1 through 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come." And if you don't believe that, just watch the presidential debate from this past week. "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It will be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Lord Jesus, give us the faith of a mustard seed tonight, that we can speak to the things that are planted deep in our souls and our lives, things that don't need to be there, and they'll be uprooted. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, how much faith does a person need? How much faith does a person need? Apparently, proximity to Jesus does not guarantee large, unwavering faith. Because it was the ones closest to Jesus who could see Jesus, who could reach out and touch Jesus, those were the ones that were asking that he would increase their faith. That was their plea: increase our faith. Their appeal is right at home in our society today. We want everything increased. We want everything supersized. We want everything upsized. We want everything bigger and the newest version, and we want it better, and we want more. That is the culture that we live in today. I think most people here would agree with that. If you're a sports fan, it seems like sports have even changed. It just seems like it's all money and business and make it bigger, and it didn't seem like it was that way. Even like, 20 years ago when I was big sports fan, but now the coaches and the players, they have to win, and you have to win now, and they fire coaches and they cut players, and everything has to be bigger and better and increased now. Corporations, you have to increase every quarter. Every quarter of the year, you must show improvements, and things must be increased and bigger and better. I hear Apple has they're kind of on the downturn now. They did not increase their profits last quarter. What's wrong with Apple? It doesn't seem to me like anything's wrong with Apple. They've sold $65 billion worth of products the last 5 years. They sound like they're doing okay to me. But in the world we live in, it has to be more, increase, 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 increase. Churches themselves, you got to have more people in the seats, and you got to have more dollars, and you got to have it bigger and better and increased week after week after week. It's easy to notice when we lack something rather than recognize the gifts and the things that we've already received in the society we live in today. Now, Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem. He's healing and teaching en route when we get to Luke chapter 17. And he just taught two things to his disciples, and they were important things. He told them to be on guard. He told them, "Watch yourselves." He taught them one thing. He said, "Watch yourselves." Then he taught them the second thing. He said, "Watch yourselves. This is important. You need to watch these two things. Do not cause another person, a little one, to stumble or to sin. Not to cause others to take offense at the gospel message, not to cause someone because of something you did to be offended by the good news, the message of the kingdom. The message itself of the kingdom of God is offensive enough. Heaven forbid we do something because of something we said, something we did, something in our personality that causes someone to stumble. Causing a little one or someone who's weak in the faith to stumble is a fate worse than drowning, Jesus said. He said, you might as well take a rock, tie it around your neck, and throw yourself in the sea. That would be better than to cause one of the least of one of these to stumble. Then he gives counsel, the second thing he teaches, gives counsel on how to deal with a brother or a sister who sins. Well, you rebuke them, you go to them, and you correct them. And if they repent, you forgive them. Even if they commit the same sin 7 times in one day, and they come back to you 7 times, I messed up again. Well, you just messed up again at lunchtime. It's only 2 o'clock now, and it's only been 2 hours, and you did the same thing again. And then they messed up again at 3 o'clock, and then they messed up again at supper time. And they keep, I messed up, and they repent. You have to forgive them over and over and over and over and over. These are 2 challenging commands that Jesus gave his apostles. They maybe even seem impossible commands. They seemed impossible then, and they seem impossible now. Forgive somebody 7 times? Are you crazy? We live in a society that doesn't really like to forgive. We don't accept people's apologies. They're insincere. They're fake. And they come out and they humble themselves and we go, yeah, right. Yeah, all right, whatever. We don't believe that. And causing someone to stumble, we live in the age where we cause lots of people to stumble. It's called the internet. We can go on there and give our opinions 24/7 and just cause lots of people to stumble. And 24-hour news cycles, just causing people to stumble. We live in a stumbling society. It's a sobering thought to recognize one's capacity to cause another person to stumble, even if our intentions was not to do that. It's hard enough to forgive once in a day, much less 7 times in a single day. No wonder the apostles asked Jesus for a transfusion of faith. Literally, they said, add faith to us. He gave them these 2 hard commands, and their response was, we can't do that. You got to increase our faith if we're going to be able to do these 2 things. Increase our faith. Number 2, Jesus tells his disciples that they have all the faith they need. Jesus tells his disciples that they have all the faith they need if they have faith the size of a mustard seed. Don't worry about the smallness of your faith. Small faith can move mountains. Small faith can uproot trees. These 2 things representing things that are deeply planted, powerful things in our life. They can uproot them because even small faith has power because faith is powerful. Even a seed of faith holds tree-like potential. Holds mountain potential. So what is faith? He uses the Greek word pistos, which means translated as trust. If you have trust the size of a mustard seed, trust in God the size of a mustard seed, it can be translated confidence. If you have confidence in God, even the size of a mustard seed, if you have commitment to God, even the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. Jesus suggests it doesn't have to be a large amount of faith. Jesus' followers can live and act on the basis of whatever faith they have, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem. So instead of worrying about increasing our faith, instead of worrying about being some supernatural, super-duper Christian, use the faith that you have and follow Christ. Perhaps these Jesus followers should just get on with living out the things that Christ would have for them to do. We didn't read verses 7 through 10, but Jesus gives a parable about how we are to be servants for Christ. We're out doing the work he told us to do during the day, and then we are the servants of Christ, the slaves of Christ. When he comes home, we prepare the meal. We make things ready for him. We get things ready for God. That's what Jesus said we are to do. That's what Jesus did. So you find the things that are right in front of you to do. And it doesn't have to be big things. In Luke 16:10, Jesus said, "One who is faithful in very little will be faithful in much." When we're faithful, when we're trusting, when we're confident in God in the little things, then that seems to roll over into the big things, or what the world considers big things. And throughout the book of Luke, faith is a big subject for Luke. He talks about it over and over again. And those we least expect to have faith in the Gospel of Luke are often the ones who are the best examples of having faith. And we're going to talk about those here in a moment. Conversely, the disciples, the apostles, the preachers, the teachers, the ones you think that should have everything figured out about faith, they are often in the Gospel of Luke the ones who seem like they have the least amount of faith. But we need a mustard seed faith and modest discipleship, being the servants of God. We're doing those things that he's given us directly to do. That is what we need. By God's grace, discipleship requires not unshakable, spectacular accomplishments. Jesus does give extraordinary demands of his disciples, but these extraordinary demands are carried out through ordinary and daily practices of being faithful in our service to God. Unfortunately, our culture that we lived in has captured a taste for the spectacular. We think we have to do something spectacular. What did you do today? Nothing spectacular. What did you do today? Nothing. Because we think if we didn't do 10 million things and that they weren't huge and they weren't grand, then we didn't do anything. We don't have a small mustard seed mentality. It has to be a huge tree. Or we didn't do anything for God, didn't do anything for others. We need a mustard seed faith. We need ordinary discipleship because that is sufficient. Don't feel overwhelmed by the demands of being a quote-unquote good Christian. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not beyond any person here. Any person. It is not beyond you. Faith is doing what needs to be done right in front of you, trusting, being confident that you are following what God has told you to do, no matter how small that it is. So number three, we're going to look at these, eight things that faith does. We're going to look at eight stories from the Gospel of Luke where Luke and Jesus talked about faith and what it does, what trust in God does, what confidence in God does. So A, faith is persistence in reaching out to Jesus. Faith is persistence in reaching out to Jesus. Luke chapter 5, 17 through 26. It's about the friends who had a paralyzed friend, and they wanted to get him to Jesus to see if Jesus could heal him. And they go to the house where Jesus is preaching, and there's a huge crowd, and they can't get through the crowd to get into the house. So they go around the crowd, and they go on top of the roof. There's the staircase up to the roof. They tear a hole in the roof and lower their friend down to Jesus. Now, getting your friend, wanting your friend to be healed, wanting to help your friend, wanting to get your friend to Jesus, that's a small thing. That's a small thing. Anybody here could do that. And when they did that, verse 20 says, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their confidence, when Jesus saw their trust in him, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." That was a small mustard seed thing they did, bringing a friend to Jesus. But they were persistent. They even had to rip a hole in that mud roof. And when they did, their trust, their faith, that it cast that tree of sickness and unforgiveness of sins, it cast that tree into the ocean, into the sea. B, faith is trusting in Jesus' power and authority. Faith is trusting in Jesus' power and authority. Luke 7, 1 through 10. This is the story of the Roman centurion, wasn't even Jewish, was a pagan, did not trust God, a Roman centurion who had a sick servant that needed to be healed. And he loved his servant. He cared for his servant. That shouldn't have been allowed as well. Roman centurions, these tough military men, but he cared for his servant. A small thing to care for someone who was even would be considered beneath you in social standards. So he had some Jewish associates, and he asked those Jewish associates, would you go to your Jewish rabbi Jesus and ask him, would he come and heal my servant? Because he cared for his servant. That was a small thing to care for someone who was sick. And as Jesus got close, the Roman centurion realized, maybe I shouldn't invite this rabbi into my home. It's kind of unkosher. So he sent out a messenger and said, Jesus, don't come into my home. I'm not worthy. Just say the word, and the authority that you have will heal my servant. Because, see, I know about authority. I'm a man who has authority. I tell people to go, and they go. When he said the word, the servant was healed. Verse 9, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. I have not found such great trusting in God even in Israel. His small faith, caring for the servant, knowing Jesus had authority, uprooted that tree and planted it in the sea. See, faith is responding with love to forgiveness received. Faith is responding with love to forgiveness received. Luke chapter 7, 44 through 50. Jesus is at the home of Simon. Jesus has not been greeted by Simon. He's been shown no hospitality whatsoever until this sinful woman comes in the house, uninvited, crashes the party, and she greets Jesus. His feet should have been washed because of the climate they lived in. Simon did not do this. This woman washed Jesus' feet with her tears. His feet should have been dried with a towel. Did not happen. So she dries his feet with her hair. Instead of being given a standard kiss of greeting, this woman kisses Jesus' feet. Instead of being given perfume for his head, Simon should have done that. He did not. This woman pours perfume on Jesus' feet. All of these things Simon could have done. They were small things, small acts of hospitality that he did not do, but this sinful woman did these small things. And in verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Your trusting in God has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus forgave her sins, which was a huge thing, but he did it through her faith, her trusting in God. And her faith uprooted that mountain of unforgiveness in her life. Her trusting in God uprooted that mountain, that tree, and cast it into the sea. And she responded with love. That's what faith does. Faith will respond with love. Why are you here tonight? Why did you worship tonight? Because you're responding with love. D, faith does not let fear get the upper hand. Faith does not let fear get the upper hand. Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25. You all know this story. The disciples are in the boat with Jesus. Jesus is asleep. A very normal, ordinary thing for them to be in a boat. Their profession, they were fishermen. Very ordinary thing, a very small thing. When this squall comes up, it's called. And they become very afraid. And they let their fear, instead of trusting in Jesus, control them. And then Jesus says in verse 24 and 25, the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? Where is your trusting in God? Where is your trusting in me? He asked his disciples. They let their fear overcome them instead of trusting in God, having faith. But they would learn from this. Because as they followed Jesus, as they learned to trust Jesus more, they would face more than one squall. Not literally a storm, but literally they faced the storms of life because they were following Jesus, and they learned to not let fear overwhelm them. They learned to have faith, and that faith would uproot the fear, cast it into the sea, and Jesus would calm the seas, the raging waters that they faced. E. Faith is willing to take risks that challenge the status quo. Faith is willing to take risks that challenge the status quo. Chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. That woman who had been sick for 12 years. She had been hemorrhaging off and on for 12 years. She is ceremonially unclean, not allowed out in public, not allowed to touch anyone. But she comes up with a plan. She's going to sneak up, because she's heard about this Jesus, sneak up through the crowd and just touch the hem of his garment. And if she can touch the hem of his garment, just maybe, she'll be cleansed. She'll be healed. It's just a small thing. It's a small thing. She didn't want to touch his shoulder, just the hem of his garment. That's how small of a face she had, just the very edge, so nobody would know I was there. Just a small thing. Status quo said she was not supposed to do that, but she was desperate. So she reached out, did this small thing, so maybe she would be healed. Jesus in verse 48 said, "Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith, your trusting in God, your trusting in me has healed you. Go in peace.'" So her small faith, her small act of going against the status quo, of getting to Jesus, uprooted that tree of sickness in her life and cast it into the sea. F. Faith is giving praise to God. When we trust in God, we will give praise to God. Chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We have 10 leprous men in this story. And they ask Jesus to heal them. And Jesus tells them, okay, go and show yourself to the priests, because the law of Moses commanded that they do so. Before they could re-enter society, the priests had to check them out and give them a clean bill of health. And they said, we'll do this. It was a small thing. The law required it. It was a small thing. And if Jesus is telling us to do this, maybe we're going to be healed before we get to the priests. And when they were on their way, they were cleansed. They were healed. All 10 were healed by obeying Jesus, but only one of them had faith. Verse 15 and following. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Very unlikely. He should not have faith in God, should not have faith in this Jewish rabbi. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Your trusting in God has made you well. Jesus praised this Samaritan. See, faith is more than getting God to do stuff. God does stuff because God is good. He makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. The one that was just who came back and praised God, and those 9 that were not just. He healed all 10 because God is good. But only one of them had faith, because faith is praising and giving thanks to the one whom praise is due. So his small act of praise revealed his faith. His small act of giving thanks to God revealed his faith. That's what faith does. It praises and gives glory to God. And his faith is what uprooted the tree of sickness in his life. But even more so, I believe it uprooted the unacceptance of being an outcast, of a leper, the unacceptance of being an outcast of a Samaritan in his life. And it cast it into the sea. G. Faith is having confidence in God's desire for justice. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is that parable of the widow who wanted justice from an unjust judge, from a wicked judge. She needs justice, but the judge does not care because he is wicked. But she keeps going back, and she goes back again, and she goes back again, and finally that judge says, "This woman is driving me out of my mind." So he finally gives her justice because she was persistent in her desire for justice. Well, God is nothing like this unjust judge. God gives justice because he is a God of justice. And in verse 8, Jesus said, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly when they go back seeking justice. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find someone trusting in God? Will he find someone that's willing to go back and hunger for justice again and again and again on this earth? Will he find someone who's persistent in seeking justice? Because when we do that, we have faith. And when we do that, that's the only way that's going to uproot these trees of injustice that our world, that our country is so much facing." And finally, H. You still with me? Have I given you too much tonight? I need to take a breath here a second. There we go. Faith is being willing to ask Jesus for what we need. Faith is being willing to ask Jesus for what we need. Chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Jesus is on his way to Jericho. He passes that blind beggar, Bartimaeus, as we know him. Bartimaeus needs to be healed of his blindness. And he cries out to Jesus. The crowd tells him to be quiet, but he will not, so he keeps crying out. That's a small thing, to keep crying out. Would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me? You want to have faith, keep going and crying out, "Jesus, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help." So Jesus asks him, what does he need? And he asks for his sight. Verse 42, Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith, because you have trusted in God, has healed you." His small faith, revealed in crying out to God over the crowd, that small act, that mustard seed faith, uprooted that tree of blindness in his life. I don't know what tree is planted in your life that needs to be uprooted. I know what will uproot it. Just the small, ordinary mustard seed acts of trusting God daily. I think we want big, huge, I need something big, huge, monstrous to come along and just take down the whole forest. The kingdom of God's not like that. That's the kingdom of Disney World or something. I don't know what that is. The kingdom of God is small. Mustard seed, but it's powerful. It uproots things. And don't take my word for it. Go read these stories. Think about the people in your life who have trusted God, and just the small things they did. If I think about my grandfather, who was a great man of faith, just a great man who trusted God, he never did anything great in the world's eyes. You know what he did? He prayed a lot. He read his scriptures a lot. He went to church every week. He went and he cleaned that church building for years and years and years, week after week after week, just small things like that. He's one of the greatest men of God I've ever knew. Loved his family, loved his wife, loved his children, his grandchildren, just daily, consistently. When someone was hurting, when he had a brother that was hurting, he would go visit his brothers that were hurting, who were sick in body. When friends were sick, he would go visit them. Just small things. One of his brothers got mad at him and over an inheritance when the sister passed away and just cursed him and hated him for it. And my grandfather would call him like once a year and just say, I love you, I forgive you, please don't be mad at me. He just forgave him again and again. And even when the brother didn't want it, he tried to always reconcile. Just small things. Just daily, small, being a servant of God. That's what changes the world. That's what uproots these trees and casts them in the sea. Stop thinking big. Increase. Start thinking small. Think small. And then we'll see big things happen. Heavenly Father, help us to think small. Paradoxically, you know, get that in our spirits, Lord. Transform us. Give us mustard seed faith. And let us know how sufficient it is. Small acts of trusting God daily uproots trees. Lord, I ask that you bless your people, that you would give them mustard seed faith, that you would be gracious to them, that you would make your face shine upon them, and that you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.